Good morning. This past week, I received an email from a friend of mine who was a classmate of mine in high school, and we haven't seen each other in years. I mean, a lot of years. And the purpose of this email was reaching out and reminding me that this coming June will be the 50th anniversary of our graduation from high school. The 50th anniversary of our graduation from high school. When I read that sentence, I had to stop reading the email for a moment. I hadn't taken that fully in, that was this coming year. And what John was trying to do was reach out to some of the people in my class and trying to gather us together, looking for addresses and contact information so we could be in touch with each other, maybe do some kind of a celebration of this 50th anniversary of our graduation. This coming week, John and I and another one of our classmates are going to be having a Zoom meeting. And I think John, I haven't seen in about 40 years. So I'm imagining he's going to look a lot different. And it'll be good to get together. It was a great email. We went back and forth, and we'll be talking this Thursday. I'm really looking forward to it. And it brought back memories to me, as oftentimes anniversaries do. And it reminded me of being together in high school. It was a small school. There were only 23 of us in our graduating class. It was Cathedral Prep was the school. It was on the west side of Manhattan, West 87th Street and West End Avenue. It was a great school. It was a great time, and I value it very dearly in my formation, in my development. Over the years I've been here at St. Paul's, I probably shared some stories about some of those times, and I've shared stories about one area I have a memory of, and that is driver's ed. I have a new story to share today with you about driver's ed. Mr. Burns was the teacher. He taught math. He was the gym teacher, and he was also the driver ed teacher. And he was a great guy, a great teacher in so many ways. And there was a depth to him. And sometimes you don't realize till later on some of what he was teaching us has kind of sort of flowed into our lives. And I remember this image from driver's ed. Remember, I learned how to drive in Manhattan, in New York City. That's where I learned. To this day, my wife Mary and my two daughters are amazed at how I'm able to drive in Manhattan. I just love driving in Manhattan. Most people fear that, but they tease me that I take on a different persona and just sort of know how to maneuver through the city. So I learned how to drive in Manhattan and in the Bronx, and of course, in my hometown in Yonkers at that time, where I was living growing up still. But I remember Mr. Burns teaching us this in driver's education. I don't know if this is something you learned or if it's anything that's still taught today, but he would always teach us to make sure that we're looking at what's in front of us as we're driving. Look right out in front of us. Keep an eye on the road. You know, keep an eye on the potholes and the bumps and the various things that might be on the road. But also to always keep your eyes looking out in the distance. Always keeping your eye out looking where you're going. Kind of looking out at that horizon as you're driving. So keeping your eyes out there, but of course looking at what's right in front of you. And that kind of alternating between looking out there and looking at what's right in front of you. Seeing what you need to, what's facing you right now, but remembering where you're going and looking out there in the distance. Today we translate that into GPS kinds of things. What do? When we do a GPS, we put in where we're going, and it looks and gets us there. So it kind of that idea of reaching out to where we're going. That idea has stuck with me over the years. I still drive like that. But there's a depth to that idea. I think a real depth. Another example I want to share with you of this idea of where you're going. I learned about this from my wife, Mary, who some of you may know. We have a horse, and Mary rides regularly. And I learned this, and this kind of amazes me. I hope I can explain this fairly, that when you're riding a horse, at least English style. You know, there's Western style and English style, it's called. When you're writing English style and you're writing, of course, you need to maintain your balance, aware of what's around you. But when you're writing and you want to go to a place that you want to go to, let's say you're riding this way and you want to go over there, as you're riding the horse, you look to where you're going. And understand the horse reads that and makes the turn, adjusts to where you're looking. And I think the idea is, we may not be aware of it, but when you look, your body is probably going with you a bit. And the horse senses that. So always look to where you're going. And folks who ride horses, if I got that wrong, correct me, but that's how I understand it. You need to certainly look at what's in front of you, but also look to where you're going, and you will get there. You will get there. Driver's ed, looking at what's in front of you, but looking out to where you're going. Riding a horse, turning and looking, and you go there. Those two images sit with me this past week as I've looked at this gospel reading of the Transfiguration. It may be a story that we're somewhat familiar with, or we may not be familiar with. It's a story that Mark puts in his chapter 9 of his gospel, and it's kind of a story that's almost like dropped into the middle of these gospel stories. It's a story of Jesus inviting Peter, James, and John to a mountaintop, and on that mountaintop, they say Jesus is transfigured before them. They have this experience of Jesus and Elijah and Moses in a way they've never sensed this Jesus. They've never known this Jesus in this way. And they have this moment, this experience of Jesus being transfigured. And they want to hold on to it. They want to stay there. Jesus, no, we need to return. We need to return. And the gospel writer is probably saying we need to return to the rest of the story. It's kind of like the story has been going along, and all of a sudden there's this transfiguration story, and then the rest of the gospel. Years ago, some scholars suggested that the transfiguration story was actually a post-resurrection story that the gospel writers placed in the middle of the gospel. Today, a lot of scholars don't necessarily agree with that interpretation. But whichever way you would interpret this story of the Transfiguration, it is put there as Jesus is leading and forming his followers, and as they're facing what is before them, as they're dealing with injustice and poverty and illness, disease, oppression, slavery, as they're dealing with that, there's this experience of the Transfiguration. It's almost like a story that the gospel writers are sharing us that is in the midst of this story of Jesus, as in the midst of all that's going on right in the present with them, there is this story of the Transfiguration. To me, it's almost that, it's that driver said, looking what you're looking at, but looking out to where you're going. Riding a horse, looking where you're going. In the midst of where you are, where are you going? And it's almost like this story of the Transfiguration is a story to share hope as these followers of Jesus move along. As they've just gone through an experience of struggle with Jesus. Jesus is telling them they're about to suffer and undergo great suffering. And then this story is placed there. Always remember where you're going. Always remember where this is leading, where it is going. In recent history, that was the message of Martin Luther King, who used that image of being on the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. I'm moving towards the promised land. I may not get there with you, he would say, but I've seen where we're going. And that was not to deny or naively to ignore the incredible suffering and challenges and oppression and violence of his time. But always reminding us to look, to go, to remember where we're going. We are in a time where there's a lot right in front of us. This last week, these past few days, have just surfaced the divisiveness, the division. We face such incredible challenges in our country, in our society, in our world, in our community, in the midst of a pandemic. The pandemic, in many ways, for me, has become more than just COVID-19. The pandemic has become so much more that has surfaced before us and needs healing. And we are called to not be overwhelmed by that. We're called not to be overcome with that. We may be like those disciples following Jesus. We may be going through a challenging time, both in our country, in our world, and in the church, as we long to be together, as we long to continue doing ministry and gathering. As ministry continues at St. Paul's, we still long to be together. But we look to where we're going, and we're going to get there. We're going to move there as we go through these challenging times. I've also been thinking of anniversaries. Today is February 14th, and on February 14th in 1999, I joined you here at St. Paul's as the rector. It's been 22 years today that I've been rector here with you at St. Paul's. And I continue to call us together to be a community that continues to look to where we're going, continues to find hope in that. A couple weeks ago, I shared the words of Thomas Merton that we walk with faith, courage, and hope. We need that faith and courage, but the hope is knowing where we are going. The dream, I oftentimes use that phrase, the dream that God has for us. Bishop Curry's new book, Love is the Way, kind of reaching beyond. And of course, our diocese calls us to live into that great dream and vision that Martin Luther King gave us of the beloved community. Living into that dream of a beloved community that can model and image what this world is meant to be and where we need to go. And so friends, as we struggle through these times, as we look at what's in front of us, I remember Mr. Burns, my driver ed teacher, who always remind us, make sure you keep looking where you're going, because you're going to get there. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. And friends, as we continue on, as I look forward to continuing in ministry here with all of us together, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Let's keep our eyes out there, but not ignore what's right in front of us, and deal and face and challenge and engage with and transform this world, because that's what that's about. That's about where we're going means to engage, to change, to transform, to transfigure. And may we hold on to that. May that be our transfiguration experience, our mountaintop experience, that hope and that dream of where we're going. And let us continue to go forward together, living into God's dream for this world.